Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic appoint Nick Hammond as their new head of football operations. The man who recommended Alfredo Morelos to Rangers says he always knew he'd be a success, and Scotland's under-19s do their bit to lift the international doom and gloom with a win against Germany. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Weedy.
And yeah, we're just three sleeps away, Gordon, from the SPFL Premiership getting back underway. Celtic at home to Ross County on Saturday, their chance to go back to the top of the league, and then the pressure would be on Rangers at Tynecastle. That'll be a fiery clash. Craig Levein's men against Stephen Gerrard's men. A victory for Stephen Gerrard's men would possibly take them back to the top of the table if Celtic win. And as you've just mentioned there too, Nick Hammond coming in to Celtic Park, a permanent role now, and the job title suggests it is a significant role in the way the club is going to move forward.
Yeah, we're all delighted that the national side managed to find the back of the net and beat the mighty San Marino 6-0 comprehensively. But I'm sure everyone's looking forward to the SPL Premiership getting back on track again at the weekend, and intriguing games looking. But both teams will be looking to get 3 points, and there's also St Johnstone, I think, and St Mirren at the bottom of the league, and even this early stage, very important for these teams.
And in the second hour of tonight's show, so just after 7 o'clock, we're going to be joined live in the studio by Kilmarnock and Scotland defender Stuart Finlay. Not many can say they've scored on their international debut. Going well with Kilmarnock, started his career at Celtic, so some interesting stuff to come from him, I'm sure. And if you've got any questions, feel free to get them in. As always though, the number you need to get in touch tonight is 0141 951 1025. And if you would rather tweet, then you can find us at Clyde SSB. I think everyone's looking forward to the return of the domestic stuff. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we like Scotland, we want to see the national team doing well, obviously. But when they are out of the running, that double header was quite a sore one, particularly losing so heavily to Russia. As Jim said, they're great for Scotland to get back to winning ways. And I suppose there'll be many things that Steve Clarke have learned. But the one thing I would applaud him for, Gordon, that he's taken out the last double header, which is important moving forward towards March, is he had the, I'll not use the word guts, I'll go for it, he had the guts to go and use Lorne Shanklin to bring a championship player in. When people questioned it, the boy came on, performed well in the second half in Russia, and took it into the game at Hampden. So if nothing else, we have found a contender for the number 9 jersey. I'm not saying he's a be all and end all, but he certainly emerged as a contender, and we need that moving forward.
But on the domestic front, Jim, so many questions, they just linger when the international breaks on. If you've won, you go away on a high. If you've lost, you're left to stew for a couple of weeks, and we start finding out the answers to some of those questions on Saturday.
Yeah, but I think the happiest group of supporters would no doubt be the Rangers supporters. They're thrilled by their team going to the top of the league. And no one had envisaged this a few weeks ago. So the turnaround been quite remarkable, and the points deficit, Celtic dropping 5 points in two away games, which is normally unheard of for them. So yeah, there's a lot of questions that are now being asked. I mean, James Forrest today in the newspaper saying that it's quite unusual situation for them and quite unfamiliar for them. So it'll be interesting to see how they react to that. And as Mark said, going to Tynecastle is always a tough fixture for Rangers, and it's another test of the squad and which team he picks, because he rarely picks the same team back to back. Stephen Gerrard,
0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you on tonight's show. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. I think the obvious place to start would be today's news that Celtic have appointed Nick Hammond as their head of football operations. So Celtic fans, first and foremost, quite simply, what do you make of it? And secondly, what should his priorities be? What should his number one priority be as Celtic's head of football operations? Maybe the guys can jog your thoughts on that one. Mark, overall, what do you make of this appointment? Because Rangers have obviously made a similar appointment in the last few days with Ross Wilson. The difference being, though, Ross Wilson replaced Mark Allen. Rangers already had a director of football, if you like, and they've replaced him like for like. Celtic, this seems to be a bit of a change in the structure at the club. Lee Congerton previously was head of recruitment. Now Nick Hammond, head of football operations. Do you see this as being quite a significant change in the way Celtic operates?
Yeah, I think it is. When I looked at the statement today and the quotes from Nick Hammond, from Neil Lennon and from Peter Lawwell, and it suggests that, you know, he is just going to be working very closely, the three of them together, in terms of how the first team moves forward. I don't think it's one of these all-encompassing roles where he gets involved with sports medicine and sports science and, you know, the under-16s and that kind of stuff. He is there to focus on driving the first team forward and helping Neil Lennon as much as he can with recruitment, getting players in, mm-hmm. getting players out, driving towards 9 in a row, and if 9 in a row happens, driving towards 10 in a row. So it is an important appointment at this scale. And the questions you asked there, listen, Celtic will have a fight in their hands to hang on to Edward, if not in January, certainly next summer. Scott Brown is still the captain, but he will need replacing at some point within the probably next 18 months or so. You need to go and find a replacement, and you need to keep Callum McGregor at the club too. They'll be interested in him. Celtic could have bids of high teens, 20 million if Brendan Rodgers wants him, and I'm sure he does. So there's important players that are going to be sought after by other clubs, or players that are going to need replaced, and Nick Hammond's job will to be go and find the best that he possibly can to bring in.
He is there to oversee the club's football operations, Jim. So that probably means that it is quite a wide role. Maybe not, as Mark says, you know, we don't know the specifics of how all-encompassing it is, but that's more than just identifying players to bring in.
Yeah, because as you mentioned, you know, previously Congleton was head of recruitment. So if it was just going to be recruitment, they would have just made him the same title. But football operations, to me, suggests that you know, he's going to look at the whole overall structure of how the football club is run. And I'm guessing that'll, through time, take into the youths, you know, the development side, all the way through to the first team. But like any top club, you know, people look at the top and see, right, what are the quality of the players, and that will be the priority, to make sure that is strong. We mentioned just a few minutes ago, Rangers are currently top of the league, so the first priority is to make sure that, you know, there is strength and depth there looking forward, and again, in preparing for the possibility that top players might leave. If your players are successful at Celtic, then the big guns will come in English football in particular, looking for them and in Europe. So therefore, you know, I think preparation is really, really important, way in advance of the January windows, way in advance of the summer transfer windows. And as Matt said, there's a number of players there. You know, Celtic currently have a goalkeeper on loan just now. So Neil Lennon's obviously thought that either Craig Gordon or Scott Bain wasn't quite what he was looking for. So again, there's another player that possibly having to look at. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of issues, but for me, that looks like a wider range of looking at the whole structure of the infrastructure of the football club. But I think that'll take time, and obviously the next months ahead will determine exactly how much input he has in that.
Right, Celtic fans, what should Nick Hammond's priority be? What should his number one priority be? The guys have given you some food for thought. Should it be lining up a future replacement for Scott Brown? A contingency plan, should Odson Edouard be prized away? Succession planning, potential future managers, other areas of the team, you tell us. What should Nick Hammond's priority be? 0141 951 1025. Let us know right now, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Those are just some bullet points to get us going, Jim. There may be others. Which of them stands out? And I know you'll say all of them, but if you had to sort of pick, what's the most likely to be pressing?
Yeah, they're all important to Nick Hammond, because that's his role. But to the fans, I think it's different. The fans will prioritise players. That's always going to be what they see. They will see the first team, the quality of the players, and also securing your own talented players. So making sure that those talented players, like Mark says, like Callum McGregor, like Ryan Christie, you know, these type of guys, like Odson Edouard, if he has the mind to, have got good, healthy, strong contracts, which put Celtic in the driving seat if teams do come calling. So I think that'll be the priority for the fans, is to make sure that the young players and the talented players they have are secure with the club, and that the recruitment process is well underway. And I'm sure it will be. And I think that's part of the reason why, you know, he was obviously on a temporary basis, and they wouldn't have given the job in a longer term basis if they didn't believe he was the right guy for the job.
Mark, I mean, already some tweets coming in, and if you want to add your thoughts on the phones, let's have them. This is the perfect time to do so. 0141 951 1025. Richard Herries says, I've no idea what to make of it. I'm not sure who signed our recent recruits, but our first priority is a replacement for Eddie. So the couple of points there. Let's deal with the final sentence there. You have to imagine clubs are already having a look, and that's not to say you're trying to sell them on, but that's the whole point. The whole point of bringing in a head of football operations is to ensure that there's some sort of structure there and that you can plan for the future. So is a contingency for Odson Edouard, is that a realistic pressing issue for Nick Hammond?
Yeah, I mean, I've said now, Gordon, for the last couple of transfer windows, but particularly there with Celtic not getting into the Champions League the last couple of years, January for me is the biggest month for Celtic in terms of recruitment, because you can't recruit properly for them when they have qualifiers. That's providing they win the league this season for Champions League football. So you need to do it in January. So what you don't want to be, if you're Neil Lennon, you don't want to be losing Odson Edouard next July and you have no replacement for him, or you're signing somebody on the same day that you lose Odson Edouard and he's got to come in and hit the ground running when you're going for a £30 million jackpot in the Champions League. You must put a plan in place to sign a quality striker in January. Now, you've got Neil Lennon, you've got Lee Griffiths there, and you've got Bayo. The evidence at the moment is you can't rely on Lee Griffiths, and Bayo is a work in progress who's doing fine, but he's not of the same standard of Edouard. Previously Edouard, you had Moussa Dembele, previously to Dembele, you had Lee Griffiths, who was brilliant for a couple of seasons. You had Gary Hooper before that, Georgios Samaras, etc, etc. So yes, I think Celtic, if they need to spend big in January, and I know you can say, oh, January's not a great window for getting players, but Celtic need to make it a great window. They cannot gamble again, and this is all down to if they win the league, but they cannot gamble again on such an important position when there's £30 million riding on it.
Ricky's first up tonight. He's a Celtic fan from Easterhouse. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, listen, I'm sorry, but I've never heard the guy who's just been given the job. What's his background?
He was there last season on a consultancy basis. I think previously director of football at clubs like West Brom, technical director at West Brom, it was director of football at Reading.
Played for England in his career. He's a left back, wasn't he, Duff?
I
think he played for England, played for Reading, think maybe Aston Villa signed him as well.
I mean, to be fair, Ricky's right to ask the question, Jim. If you've never heard of the guy, you've never heard of him. But at the same time, this is not a manager or a player. This is, when you make an appointment like this, it's a certain skill set you're looking for. Yeah. A sort of, well, you describe it because you know it well, but is it a balancing act between football knowledge and business, a sort of middleman, if you like, between Neil Lennon and
not so much the business
Peter
side.
Lowell.
No, it's to know, it's contacts, which is very, very important. Knowledge of your job, but there are many guys, you know, around. I mean, John Park, for instance, who I'm sure Ricky would have heard of. He's but no one really knew who John Park was until certain players started coming to Celtic. You know, so you know, and John wasn't a star player or anything like that. You know, so it's, you know, I personally think obviously someone that can organise a scouting system, someone can organise the developments. I look at the development side. These are different skill sets. There's no doubt about it. It's not just looking at a player. We can all do that, Ricky. We can all say, I mean, you, me, anybody in here can say, oh, he's a really good player. It's about seeing potential, knowing not just is he a good player, but can he play for Celtic? Can he handle playing for Celtic? Can he handle the demands, the expectations, the style of the football, you know, the character of the player? So much information, but also, can he help develop the next set of players coming through? James Forrest, Kieran Tierney, Callum McGregor, Mikey Johnson. Can you look and try and find that also? So there's an awful lot of work there that's not just about somebody that knows the, you know, knows footballers.
Ricky, the guys were talking about potential priorities for Nick Hammond. You know, should it be lining up a long-term replacement for Scott Brown, making sure they're covered if Odson Edouard leaves? Those were just a couple of suggestions. What do you think his priority should be?
Well, I think Jim Duffy's just sold the guy to me. Like I said, he's just sold him to me. So I'm fine with that guy. We need somebody to replace Brown, which is going to be very hard. I think we need a striker in January, because I don't see Griffiths coming back anytime soon. And the bio, I don't think he's ready yet. So we need somebody to push on every day. Get an injury to Edward. We need somebody in there. We don't need somebody that maybe can cut that. We need somebody that will be able to cut that. Mm-hmm.
Ricky, I think Scott Brown's irreplaceable. That's my opinion. I do not think there are modern players who can replace Scott Brown.
Certainly not on Celtic's budget.
I don't even think add anybody you like on. I look about, before people start saying, oh, he's not this player, I'm not talking about, listen, if somebody said Kevin De Bruyne, I'm not talking about quality a player that can come in. I'm talking about the captain, the leader, the kind of, you know, the guy drives the team, that, you know, the strength of character, all that. I'm talking about that type of player. I'm not talking about what he can do on the ball and on the pitch. Of course, there are better players than Scott Brown out there as a footballer. I'm just talking about as a leader, as someone who's driven Celtic to 8 titles in a row. I don't think there's that type of player. I think they'll have to look at a different type. And I think when Scott Brown eventually does step back, I think first thing he'll do is he'll go straight into coaching, probably Celtic in some capacity. But I don't think there's the same type of player out there in the way the game is developed and moving forward.
So Ricky thinks that Nick Hammond's priority then very much is up front, because not only Ricky thinks they need a striker anyway, and then there's that possibility, maybe not January, maybe not the summer, but at some point, if he keeps on his upward trajectory, someone will fancy a nibble at Odson Edouard. So is that a fair suggestion that area might be a priority?
Yeah, and again, the type of striker you need, because as we mentioned earlier on, Dembele was strong, he's powerful, holds up. I think Edouard, without looking the same, he is still a strong boy, he still does hold it up, he's still got link up, he's not a, you know, he's still learning the kind of prolific side of it, the sniffing type goals, you know, he doesn't really bundle a few in, you know, inside the 6-yard box. So he's a different type of player, but if he can add a little bit of that to his game as well, then yeah, I'm no doubt. And also scoring 2 goals a game for the French in the 21 or 3, you know, he gets those type of, you know, goals help his reputation as well. So yeah, but like Mark says, you can preempt stuff. You can have players on pre-contracts. You can certainly agree with their agents. You can certainly agree with their clubs. So even if you agree with someone in January, they might not come to the summer, but the deal's all done. You can have the deal all done, so no one can gazump you further down the line if the boy scores more goals.
On you go, Ricky.
I think we need somebody, a penalty box player. I think somebody we need there, somebody, as Jim says, somebody that will anticipate where the ball's going and just be in there in front of the defender. See, like me, Morelis at Rangers. He anticipates balls, so does Defoe. They anticipate balls in the box. That's what we need, somebody in there. We put balls in the box after Christie, after McGregor, or whoever, Forrest. We need somebody in there, can nip in there in front of the defender. Bang. There you go. That's what we need. We need a penalty box flair.
Mark?
Yeah, it's a good shout, Ricky. I wouldn't disagree with that. You know, I think Morelos scores those kind of goals. Defoe as well. They also score clever goals with good movement. But yeah, they are poachers to it and comes back off the goalie. They're in and around it, and maybe Celtic don't quite have that at the moment, albeit they're still winning most of their games. So look, but the other thing too, when we think of the Scotland national team, you think number 9's a hard to find. I mean, Duff's talking there about Scott Brown being irreplaceable. Where do you find a number nine again within Celtic's budget, that's got the mentality, that's got his sniff, that can come in and look the part the way Edouard has looked the part and Dembele looked the part 18 months ago too. Not an easy find, a number nine either.
But they have done it, Mark, because you just mentioned half a dozen over the last episode. So Celtic have been very good at finding them over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Hooper, Dembele, Griffiths, Edouard. You know, Celtic have been very good because they are very difficult to find. But if Nick Cammon can continue the work that's been done before him by finding that type of player, then straight away he's going to get brownie points off the fans.
What about more generally then, this role, this appointment, Jim? We probably, compared to some European nations, are still a little bit more sceptical than others about director of football. And we always get ourselves really worried about the balance of power and who's making the decisions. But if you look across the board at big clubs, it's pretty commonplace. Yeah. And I would imagine the reason for that is it's quite simple. Remember Brendan Rodgers? Remember he just upped and left all of a sudden? If he was the guy who is in charge of all your scouting and all your sports medicine and all your recruitment and then he ups and leaves, what do you do? But if you've got someone else there who puts this structure in place, then it should give you some sort of continuity. Is that about it in a nutshell?
Yeah, I think it's a really good way of describing it, Gordon, because clubs are so big now, there's so much involvement, and managers' tenure is relatively short. Yeah. So, you know, if you say, like, oh, this is the manager's philosophy and this is all his players and this is the way we want to play, and it doesn't work out and the manager gets a sack within a year, what do you do? Do you start again? Whereas, call them whatever title you like, technical director, director of football operations, whatever, you know, title you give the guy. It's about maintaining that structure, no matter who the manager is. When the manager comes in, they will then speak to the club, and before he gets appointed the job, say, listen, this is the structure of the club here. You have to fit in with that structure. So whether they interview him or whether they bring him from within or whatever, they'll all be singing off the same page.
0141 951 1025. That's just one to get us going. What should Nick Hammond's priorities be at Celtic? A long term replacement for Scott Brown, contingency plans for Odson Edouard, anything else that we've missed out, you tell us. 0141 951 1025. We're also going to hear from the man who tipped Alfredo Morelos to be a success at Rangers. We'll hear from him after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're going to hear from Jonathan Johansson, the man who tipped off Rangers to the signing of Alfredo Morelos. So the Premiership returns this week. It's away at Tynecastle for Rangers. So Rangers fans, this is the perfect time for you to get in touch on 0141 951 1025. There were a few calls though still hanging over from before the break. Let's squeeze them in. Jerry's in Bothwell. Hi, Jerry.
Hiya, how you doing, guys? I've got a couple of points here. It's about the director of football. You were talking about different names. Last year, when I was at work, my name got changed. I was depot controller. Then 6 months later, I was operations supervisor. But I was doing the same job. So is this not the same? Are these now just changing titles for changing them?
Listen, I know sometimes that can be the case. There's no doubt about it. But there does seem it's quite a difference. I mean, Lee Congerton was head of recruitment. That's pretty simple. It's quite easy to understand what you're the head of, recruiting players. Yeah. This is head of football operations. So clearly surely there's more to it.
Yeah, there is more to it. But, you know, as Jerry says, you know, you can be the manager and now you're the head coach. You know, and that's pretty standard now that people are called head coaches. And because, again, it's pretty much the same job, but it is a slight change in title. But there are some elements, Jerry, that do change. From head of recruitment to director of football or football operations. And again, it's just different departments, and then sometimes you cross over. But I'm with you, it's not something that I think anybody would lose sleep over when into the job, if their title was slightly different. But you know, there are other elements, as we mentioned earlier on in the programme, that you know, will be more than just recruitment. You know, as we said, you know, the whole structure of the club, looking at everything behind the scenes a lot of times further down the line. But more importantly, for supporters, I always think that it's the first team that ultimately these guys will be judged. You know, you can have the best youth system, all the facilities, you can have everything in the background doing remarkably well, a great scouting system, as I said, an infrastructure which is better than most. But if your first team players are not successful, then you know, people will be calling for your head.
What should his priority be, Jerry?
As you guys say, Scott Brown, get a replacement for him. But can I go on another point, which is not the Scottish League? It's would you make it carry on with Henrik Larsson and Tommy Johnson at Southport?
Ooh, there's a question. There's a question I wasn't expecting. But Mark Weedy, that's the beauty of it. You guys get these things thrown on you.
Well, Jerry, it seems to be that Henrik Larsson's been linked with the job now for 3 or 4 weeks, and then the latest development seemed to be that it was him. Johan Mialbi's number two, and Tommy Johnston is a director of football, head of recruitment, head of football operations, which Tommy's kind of fulfilled a role like that for 5 or 6 years now at Blackburn Rovers, at Watford. I think his latest one's been Nottingham Forest, and I know Tommy, and he's, as Jim mentioned, key to that job is having contacts and having people that will tip you off about things, and Tommy is very, very good in that role. So Southend seem to view it as a three, and Tommy Johnson, by all accounts, pulled out of being part of that. And unless I'm mistaken, Southend have said, well, if we can't get the three of you, we're not taking any of you. And that seems to be the shout. Now, that might not be right, but that appears to be the suggestion. Now, look, Southend, with the greatest respect to them, not a sexy club, second bottom of League One. Albeit the location's good because it's in the outskirts of London, that's you know, helpful when you're trying to get players and entice somebody like Larsson. But for me, I don't know, unless obviously there's maybe a backer coming in that's going to, you know, fund them to go and push them up the leagues and make them serious players down there. For the life of me, I just don't know why a guy like Henrik Larsson and Johan Mialbi and Tommy Johnson would get involved there.
I know Henrik was a manager in Sweden, so maybe he's just trying to get his leg in over here.
It could well be down to that, Jerry. Yep, you may well be right. Yep.
Right, thanks for that, guys.
Okay, great stuff. That was Jerry in Bothwell. 01419511025 in the phones. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Anything doing on the previous topics before we move on? I don't think so.
Gordon, do we know if Ross Wilson, for instance, is he officially started yet, or does he have a period that he's got to give notice to Southampton?
Ooh, I can't remember. I think it's pretty imminent. Yeah. I think. Yep. Yeah, I think it is. I'll double check it for you. At Clyde SSB on Twitter, 01419511025. Richard says Jim Duffy's talking rubbish again if he thinks no players out again there will compare to Scott Brown. Mm-hmm. I think you made it clear. You didn't say that there aren't better players. You just think in the sort of way it fits for him. Yes.
Yeah, maybe Richard should listen a little bit better. But you know, I didn't talk about his quality as a footballer. I was talking about him as a captain, as a leader, as an influence, you know, in the dressing room, on the pitch, around the club. You know, these type of guys have been there. They know what it is it's all about to play for Celtic. And when players come in, listen, you know, you can have your opinion on Scott Brown. He's mad, mate, to a lot of people. But if you ask any player that's been in at Celtic in that period where Scott Brown is there, they'll tell you how big an influence he's been to them. I mean, how big a help.
Rangers fans, ideal time for you to get in touch. 01419511025. Have you been keeping an eye on your players on international duty? What are your thoughts ahead of the return of the domestic stuff? I know Joe Aribo scored for Nigeria against Brazil, didn't he? Alfredo Morelos played from the start for Colombia last night. So anything you've been keeping your eye on, give us a call. 01419511025. Jonathan Johansson says he always knew Alfredo Morelos would be a success in Scotland after making Rangers aware of the striker just over 2 years ago. He says he's had the clear physical attributes to do well, but has also praised his willingness to work and improve.
I think it's been great, and I've always said it that you know, it's fantastic for me because I put my name to him and he's been doing well, but also the current management team have done a great job with him. He's progressing all the time. From last season he was great, but there was some issues, and this season he's been great playing, and he looks sharp, he looks fit, and he looks like he's growing in experience as well, let's put it that way. You know, he was always a talent, he had attributes that strikers in Scotland and Rangers need, and he had those, and it's about putting him in the right direction, giving him the right coaching and making him sharper and fitter. And he's been doing that too. So when you come to this level, it's about really, really hard work, and it's not being happy where you are and always pushing yourself forward. The one thing I remember from him from the start is very, very hungry. And I think, if he keeps that hunger, he keeps that progression, I think he will go higher still.
Alfredo Morelos played for Colombia last night. He didn't manage to win the game, but nevertheless, Jim, I'm sure starting in that arena, even just the different type of challenge, that can benefit Rangers, can't it?
Yeah, but also for the player himself, you know, he knows that he's part of that international setup now. That the coach, you know, has belief and trust in him that he's good enough to play at that level. And, you know, that's all down to his performances at Rangers. And I think it's, again, we mentioned earlier on about the recruitment process. I mean, Alfredo Morelos was bought for less than 2 million, I think, wasn't he?
1.2
or something like that. I mean, that's absolutely fantastic business. And that's the type of business. And I like the little fact that, as I said to you, that Ross Wilson and Nick Hammond have been appointed almost at the same time, because there'll be a little skin of, you know, another little competition in the background there about players getting recruited and who gets them in and who's got the best. And I like that side, you know, the side of it, rather than just the two managers or the two teams. There's a little bit in the background there about that other side of it. And Alfredo Morelos, is a fantastic example of finding potential and trying to nurture that potential and try and develop it, and not just as a player but as a business. That is very important to Scottish clubs.
I mean, Mark, such is the mad world that we live in. Social media over the last 24 hours has been full of Rangers fans wanting to point out that who cares if Edouard scored a hat-trick for France under-21s, because it's only the under-21s, and Celtic fans quick to point out that Morelos maybe didn't score for Colombia last night and he's not ready for that level, whatever it may be. I'm going to introduce a rule for one night only where we don't compare the two. We just acknowledge what they're doing in their own right, and the fact that whatever it is working in our top flight. Amnesty, if you like.
Both really good goal scorers, good footballers, big assets to their respective clubs. But what I'd say about Morelos in terms of his improvement and his attitude, listen, Steven Gerrard and his staff have worked very, very hard behind the scenes in the past 3 or 4 months with him, and they explained decisions. You know, it's not just as simple as Steven Gerrard will rotate game by game Gerrard and Defoe and Morelos. He looks at the opposition, he weighs it up, strengths, weaknesses, and then he'll explain to one why you're starting, and then explain to the guy why you're not starting. Another thing as well has been, apart from Steven Gerrard's staff, Jermaine Defoe has played a big role in the maturing of Alfredo Morelos on and off the park in the past one. You look at Alfredo Morelos to last March and April, it's night and day. Mm-hmm. Night and day. And that is because they have worked hard on it. They realise he's an asset. He's an asset to them on the park just now as they try and win the league this season and win a trophy. And an asset when it comes to it, whether it's January, the summer, or 18 months' time, it becomes a 10, 12, 14, 16, maybe even a £20 million player in that period of time. So Gerrard and his staff and Jermaine Defoe deserve credit, but most of all, Morelos deserves credit.
Billy's in Barrhead. Billy, as a Rangers fan, I'm sure you've been keeping an eye. Morelos gets a start for Colombia. Joe Aribo scores against Brazil. Are these the types of things that can help these guys when they return from international football? Maybe an extra spring in their step.
Aye, well, if they're playing for their country, obviously that's a feather in their cap. But what I was going to say was a couple of callers have been talking about Celtic and need to replace Brown and all this carry on. Where is all the money that Celtic's made over the years went? They're a selling club. So they can't. But are they going to spend £20 million to get somebody in to get them into the Champions League? They failed in the last 3 years to get into the Champions League. All right, they failed into the UEFA League, the same as Rangers. Rangers have been very lucky. They've got a good manager. Everything's looking good. But they'll sell Morelos, and Defoe himself will only be the answer. But if they sell Morelos, say, for £20 million a night, or £10 million, whatever they get, they're not going to pay the money to replace them. So Celtic supporters, hey, no disrespect to him, I'm a Rangers man, it doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is, Celtic supporters are saying, oh, we need to replace them, we need to replace that. Where's the board then? They've got all that money, where's it went?
Well, listen, they might not spend as much as some people want, but I mean, they spent $9 million on Edouard, $7 million on Julian, $4.5 million on Cham,
and a £60 million wage bill.
Three million on Bolly, I think.
They do spend money again. You'll never be able to satisfy everyone.
Very relevant. The Celtic spend a lot of money in comparison to Scottish football. I mean, that's the bottom line. Where we are, and also, you know, their business acumen is outstanding. You know, they reported the profits there last year. That to me is good business. Yeah, I understand fans, Champions League football and stuff like that, but nevertheless, if you don't qualify and you can still manage to sell someone for 20 plus million as they did with Dembele, and they also, I don't know what the figure was, but maybe talking about, it was around about 7 million talking, suggesting for Brendan Rodgers, you know, a manager,
and his staff,
you know, all this sort of thing. So, you know, no matter how you do it, if you're bringing in and also you're still winning, and Celtic have won every domestic trophy available to them in the last 3 years, I don't really think that should be looked at as a negative. From Billy's point of view, being a Rangers fan, yeah, I mean, it's all about looking at the possibilities. What might happen? You know, if Morella stays brilliant and keeps scoring the goals, keeps performing, every Rangers fan would be delighted. But as Matt said at the very start of the programme, there's not a lot of top class number nines around. And if Morella keeps banging them in, then the clubs will come calling, and Rangers have to then look, have options just in case.
Billy, just before we let you go, Rangers obviously go to Hearts at the weekend as the domestic football returns. Does that still go down as a difficult place to go in your eyes? Or is the fact that Hearts have been struggling make you think that Rangers will win that one convincingly?
They won the last three, did they not? Are they not on the up just now, Hearts? It's well, a hard place to go at any time.
No, they've got a poor record at home, Billy.
I think, is it 1-1
in 7 months or something like that?
March,
I
think, was the last time. So.
Yeah, so they're struggling, but for me, it's still an intimidating venue. And
still,
and,
you think so? It still goes down?
Yeah, it's particularly when, you know, when Rangers and Celtic come calling, you know, you'd expect Hearts will have, whatever it may be, 10, 12,000 their own fans in there, and they'll be right up for
more
it. So,
probably.
More. But, Rangers will start the game big favourites, and rightly so. But for me, it won't be a pushover. You need to work very, very hard to get the 3 points on Sunday.
No, I think Rangers will win in one. I wouldn't say comfortably, but I think there'll be a couple of goal margin, and simply because I think they're playing very well. I think their confidence is there. And I think Hearts are just struggling just now for one reason or another. I don't think there's that same atmosphere created at the, you know, with the new stand. And the pitch is fantastic normally, which helps. And used to be the pitch was a bit bobbly and a bit, you know, out of sorts, and the stadium would be tight, and it was hard for teams to go there and play their normal game. But I think if Hearts allow Rangers to play their normal game, then Rangers will win the game, in my opinion, with a couple of goals to spare.
Billy and Barhead, thank you very much for the call. It's 01419511025 if you want to join them, and we'll speak to you after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Remember, in the second hour of tonight's show, we're going to be joined in the studio by Kilmarnock and Scotland defender Stuart Finlay. How many people can say they've scored on their international debut? He's one of them, did it on Sunday. And we're going to be speaking to him after 7 o'clock. So any questions you've got, get them in. We're on the phones. We're also on Twitter at Clyde SSB. John Strzelecki's on. He says Aribo, Arfield, Kamara all getting plaudits on international duty. Morelos is a Colombian international now. Looks good for the future profits. The new director of football needs to find replacements should Rangers cash in next summer. See, I love this, because if we say it, you get accused of selling players on. But the fans have an awareness that that's the way it works. And both clubs in recent days have made moves to bolster the structure of the footballing operation, I guess, as you call it.
Yeah, it's vital. You know, a manager's job or a head coach's job is busy enough day to day. And, you know, even just dealing with the media, you know, a big club such as Celtic or Rangers, you know, you're doing, as you know, Gordon, 6-7 media conferences a week if you're involved in Europe and stuff like that. So you need good people around about you. You know, you can't take 500 calls a day. You need to be able to delegate and have people to filter things that are coming in, and only the stuff that goes to you that needs to come to you. And part of that is recruitment, whether it's coming in or going out. And yes, the way things are going, I believe there'll be interest in Morelos in January and next summer. Concrete interest, things that are actually black and white put into bids. You know, I'm not so sure there was a lot of that in the past, but I think that the way he's going, that it's inevitable that that's going to happen, and it'll be big money, it'll be serious money for Morelos, the kind of money that Celtic have received for some of their players in the past that you just can't turn down. You just need to accept that you need to move these guys on. If you buy for a million and can sell for 12, 14, 16, you need to do it all day long.
Clubs of that size, of Celtic and Rangers, and in this era, Jim, as well, is that why the Nick Hammonds, the Ross Wilsons are so important? Because there was a time when the manager did it all, which not to say that didn't work, but I think they've both got, is it 18 fixtures between now and the new year? I think it is. How on earth could a manager focus on recruitment as well as preparing and debriefing 18 games between them and
then? It's a simple thing. So, say if we're talking, say a club wants a player in loan, so they phone up and say, right, say it's Lewis Morgan, for instance, and he's known the Celtic first team, or if it's Andy Halliday or something like Rangers, and somebody phones up, so where do they go? The manager can't take all these time, you know, so he's already had a discussion perhaps with the hierarchy, you know, in those roles, and expressed maybe who they would allow out. And then obviously the financial side of it, you know, what kind of compensation towards the wages, how long they're going to go for, what's the intention, why is he going to, is he a young player getting experience, or is he an experienced player trying to move him out, all these sort of things. That's what I said earlier on. I think it's a great undercard to the big fight. You know, you've got a really great undercard there with Ross Wilson and Nick Hammond. But it is a very important role nowadays in football, there's no doubt about it. And you know, I think, you know, you look at Dundee United, even in the Championship, we get a guy like Tony Asghar in there now. You know, a few years ago, I can remember one of the earlier ones was Willie Miller, you know, getting up at Aberdeen. But it's definitely something that will increase in the Scottish game. But it's got to be affordable. Listen, you know, a lot of clubs here, you know, don't really have the money to
Sitmin have got it, Gus McPherson. Gus does it at Sitmin.
So again, but I think it's a really important role now, but as I say, it has to be affordable.
Laurie and Dennison, what's on your mind?
Panel, good evening.
Hello.
Hi, Laurie.
Guys, as a season ticket holder at Celtic Park, I would just like to make an observation regarding the tactical styles, or differences rather, between Brendan Rodgers and Neil Lennon. And there are pros and cons where both are concerned. When Brendan Rodgers managed Celtic, his priority was ball retention. And Celtic kept the ball, domestically at least, in most instances, 60% plus of the time. And of course, you don't need to get Lieutenant Colombo to figure out that if you've got the ball, the opposition can't do you any harm. Now, that was the positives. The minuses were, although he was hugely successful in that he never lost a trophy he contested, from a spectator's point of view, sometimes, to be honest, it did take a wee bit of getting used to. It was very kind of laboured, very kind of measured, the build-up, very slow. But they did keep the ball, and you can't argue about his success ratio, and that he never lost a trophy that he contested. Now, fast forward the Neil Lennon era. In terms of entertainment, Neil certainly provides a much more entertaining type of football, and that the ball is launched forward. We're playing 90 miles an hour. People are on the edge of their seats. But the flip side of that coin is, and this is what I want to ask Jim and Mark, that if you're playing like that, you do not keep the ball. So Neil Lennon's possession perhaps would be maybe 49, 50%, etc. It's more entertaining to watch, but I would suggest that ultimately it's not going to prove as successful. And I'm loath to criticise Neil Lennon, because Neil Lennon took over Celtic last year at a time when Brendan Rodgers left without any warning. And he came in and he guided us over the line.
Let me put those points to the panel, Laurie, because the news is fast approaching, but it's certainly one that I know they'll have strong thoughts on. Jim, what do you make of Laurie's comparison and concern, if you can call it that?
Well, not Laurie, as I said, he's a scene ticket holder, so he watches all the games. I don't see all the games, but I'd be surprised if Celtic didn't dominate possession as well for the vast majority of the games. I think it'll be a much higher ratio than Laurie suggested there, around about 50. I think it'll be closer to 60%, maybe slightly less than Brendan Rodgers, but ultimately it's all about how effective you are with the ball. You know, there are times when you can wear teams down, but I think certainly last season when Neil Lennon took over, The amount of late goals Celtic scored would suggest that they put teams under an enormous amount of pressure. So not just with the ball, but without the ball in terms of pressing. Mm. So I think there's different styles, but ultimately it's just about how effective they can be with it.
Laurie describes it as being a style that, you know, gets fans off their seats. I'm sure there were times under Brendan Rodgers where the fans were off their seats, yeah, as well. Mm-hmm. We actually had some tweets similar to this last night, though, that said in the last couple of away games where Celtic have dropped points, it's gone too far, and Celtic have tried to get the ball forward too quickly. Uh-huh. And that's what's going against them. Is that a possibility?
I think first and foremost, they're both very good managers. Both have different styles, but the most important thing, both very successful. And that's it. And you just need to go where they go. You know, you can't be a clone of Brendan Rodgers. It's like he's not a clone of Martin O'Neill, but he was influenced by Martin O'Neill, just like Scott Brown likes Neil Lennon, but he was really influenced by Brendan Rodgers and by Gordon Strachan and stuff like that. So you need to just make, look, as long as Celtic's winning, I'd be interested just in Laurie's point that I picked up when he says, ultimately, I don't think it's going to be successful. By that, do you not think Celtic's going to win the league, Laurie, or do you think they won't win the treble this season? Because at some point, that the run of the domestic trophies has to come to an end.
Laurie, if you could answer that very, very quickly, please. News is upon us.
Very quickly, guys. Neil Lennon was the architect.
Laurie, do you think Celtic will win the league this season? That's the question I'm asking. Because you said you don't think it's going to be successful.
50-50, Mark. If Brendan Rodgers had been in charge, I would have said 75-25.
Oh, there we go, 50-50. Right, it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I'm sure that's one we'll revisit another time. Thank you to Laurie and Dennison. It is Beat the Pundit time. Not only is this your chance to show that you've got superior football trivia knowledge to Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi, you could win yourself a signed ball, but just for taking part tonight, we have your chance to win 4 tickets for the Clyde One Super Scoreboard pub quiz. It is sold out. This is the only way to make sure you're there on Friday the 25th of October at the Drygate. I'm naming no names. I actually received a message asking if we would if we'd be willing to take a bung for tickets. That's how serious this is getting. Now, obviously we said no, we couldn't entertain such a possibility, but if you want to be there, all you have to do is take part in tonight's Beat the Pundit, and we'll throw in a £100 voucher for kilts for you as well. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call us quick, the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to thompsons.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, and tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We have been joined by our special guest for tonight as well, Kilmarnock and Scotland defender Stuart Finlay, fresh from scoring on his international debut, going good guns at Kilmarnock, and started a career at Celtic with a few other stops in between as well. So we'll get to all that with Stuart in just a second, but let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. It's been more popular than usual this week, I must say. It must be the extra prizes we're throwing in there. Jim and Mark, one of you is taking on Sarah, who's a Celtic fan from Rutherglen. How are you tonight, Sarah?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. Have you been sucked in by the tickets to the quiz?
Yes.
I see, everyone's the same.
But when you said you had a special guest on, I thought you were talking about me.
Oh, well, listen, yes, you're our other special guest. Fair point. I should have worded that better. You are on your way to the Clyde One Super Scoreboard pub quiz.
Thank you.
Friday, the 25th of October. What's the team looking like? You got some know-it-alls in there?
Not really.
Well, listen, the Clyde One Super Scoreboard team certainly don't have any notables in there anyway, so you'll be absolutely
fine.
You're also getting a £100 voucher for kilts for you, so you can use that wisely. None of your pals get that though, that's just for you.
Thank you.
The one voucher plus your ticket. So there we go, let's play Beat the Pundit. If it's heads, you're up against Mark. If it's tails, it is Jim Duffy. And it's tails. Jim against Sarah from Rutherglen.
I thought it was heads.
Were you disappointed in that news?
A wee bit, because Mark's not that great and I'm going to be shocking. So sorry, Mark.
Thanks, Sarah. That's very kind of you.
Any good, I'll tell you that. But anyway, good luck to you.
I love that. Right, okay. You two have moved mics, which is confusing me. It's Jim Duffy who's going to be. No, it's Mark who's playing.
No, it's me.
Jim. All over the place. Great. Right, okay. I'm going to give Jim some Clyde 2 in his ears. That way he can't hear us. We'll get your clock up and running. Sarah, you've got 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
Which Scottish team does Chris Erskine play for?
Dundee United.
What Scottish team is nicknamed the Blue Toon?
Ross County.
Name any of the teams Stuart Finlay was loaned out to whilst at Celtic.
Alloa.
What is the name of Celtic's new head of football operations?
Oh, pass.
Where did Rangers sign Lee McCulloch from?
The bin.
Which country did Glasgow City play in this evening in the Champions League?
Say that again, sorry.
In which country did Glasgow City play in tonight in the Champions League?
Scotland.
Okay, let's bring Jim Duffy back. Jim, can you hear us?
Yes.
Right, same set of questions to you, all right?
No problem.
Let's do it. Which Scottish team does Chris Erskine play for?
Chris Erskine plays for... Oh no, pass.
Go Which on. Team is nicknamed the Blue Toon?
Peterhead.
Name any of the teams that Stuart Finlay was loaned out to whilst at Celtic.
Oh, I know he was at Morton. I don't know if it was at Celtic. Morton.
What is the name of Celtic's new head of football operations?
Oh, Nick Cammond.
Where did Rangers sign Lee McCulloch from?
Kilmarnock.
Which country did Glasgow City play in tonight in the Champions League?
Sweden.
Who are the current holders of Scottish League One?
Scottish holders.
Ah, too long. Too long. All right.
I don't think you'd be too troubled here, Sarah, to be honest with you.
But Sarah, how do you think that went?
Oh, I don't think I get any right.
I think I might get one.
Let's find out the damage.
Is that on like minus one as well then?
No, only Roger Hanna. That's reserved for Roger Hanna, I'm afraid. So let's find out the first one. Which team does Chris Erskine play for? Mark Guidi, you want to help us out?
Livingston.
It's Livingston. Mm. None of you got it right. Which team is nicknamed the Blue Toon? It's Peterhead. Mm. Jim Duffy got it. 1-0. Name any of the teams Stuart Finlay was loaned out to whilst at Celtic. Stuart, would you like to confirm?
Morton, Dumbarton and Kilmarnock.
There we go. So Jim Duffy got Morton. 2-0. The name of Celtic's new head of football operations. This one was in the tip of your tongue, Sarah, wasn't it?
It was. My husband was just talking about it just before I came on the phone.
Nick Hammond. Jim got it 3-0. Where did Rangers sign Lee McCulloch from? It was Wigan. Which country did Glasgow City play in tonight in the Champions League match? It was Denmark. I mean, you were kind of close.
Brown made it play, innit? Aye. They're winning 2-0, which is brilliant, actually.
They won 2-0.
Do you know what's really frustrating? Earlier on in the show I wanted to talk about that and congratulate everyone involved, but I knew it was a question on Beat the Pundit, right. So I thought I would just hang fire. Well, but absolutely, it finished, and it's a first ever round of 16 away victory for Glasgow City. 2-0 to take back to Peter's Hill in 2 weeks. So fantastic, well done to all involved. And did you get to one more? The current holders of League One are Broth. Yeah, playing in the Championship now. So listen, Sarah, it was a 3-0 defeat. You certainly are not getting the signed ball, but you are coming to the pub quiz, and you've got your Kilts For You Hire voucher as well. Sound good?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much.
Great stuff. We'll see you there Friday the 25th at the Drygate. Thanks to Kilts For You as well for setting that up. It's another win, Jim. They all count.
Yeah, but I was hopeless.
Think so? The three's not bad.
Nah, there's at least another couple of that I should have got. It was shocking.
Okay, room for improvement then. That's fine. I'm pleased to say we are now joined by Stuart Finlay, as you heard briefly during Beat the Pundit, the Kilmarnock and Scotland defender. Stuart, how are you?
Good, thanks for having me.
Well, listen, thank you very much for
it's
coming
great to
in.
Say Scotland and defender at Kilmarnock and Scotland. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, don't say that too often. Mm. And fresh from scoring on your international debut, have you managed to wipe the smile off your face yet?
Not quite. Anytime I do, I have a wee watch of the video, but it's a nice touch.
How many times you watched it so far?
Lost count.
The YouTube hits, so we're going through the roof. Right, Stuart, you've never been here before. The guys have seen this movie before. Though, anytime a player comes in, we put them through a bit of a getting to know you exercise. Are you up for that?
I know.
Great stuff, quite simple. What was the first game you went to?
The first game I can remember, me and my dad were at Hampden. Scotland beat Lithuania 1-0, I think it was. Naismith scored, if I remember rightly, but that's my first memory I have.
Look at this guy, he's a fairy tale. There we are. First game at Hampden, Scotland, and he goes back at the weekend and scores in his debut. Fantastic, I love that. Who was your footballing hero growing up?
Probably Rio Ferdinand. That's the sort of guy that I still try and base the way I play on. Not quite got to his level yet, but the way that he played, it's something I look to try and do.
What in particular? What was the skill that stood out?
I like the fact that he's got a good bit of pace, which is something I like to think I've got myself. And the way that he used to play, it's something, as I said, I used to try and base myself on.
I thought he was going to say Jim Duffy, but you've been overlooked for Rio. We don't
mind
that.
I'm far too old for Stuart Finlay to remember.
We don't mind that. Right, best player you've played with?
To fair, last season when I was at Kilmarnock, the season, it was 6 months we had with Greg Stewart, was unbelievable. I thought, in training, just as a sort of guy I could not get near. But when we played it, I made my debut for Newcastle. Jonjo Shelvey as well was top draw.
Lovely, nice selection there. Same haircut as Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy as well. Jonjo Shelvey. Best you've played against?
This season, to be fair, Morello. Morello's as good, but Edward for me is comfortably the best player I've played against in this league.
He's only been in the show 2 minutes and he's got stuck straight into the one debate that we have every single night on the show. Right, go on then, what are the differences between the two?
To be fair, I'd comfortably say, without sitting the fence, Morelos is the second best player in the league.
Keep digging.
Against the A2, it's just both from a different class, but the pace that Edward does things at, he can sit and do nothing for 45 minutes and switch on for 10. He scored 2 goals against us a few weeks ago doing that. It's just the sharpness he does things at is just a different level.
And then is it, from the outside certainly, is it more of a physical challenge, Morelos? Is that the difficulty there?
Oh, Morelos as well. Like, I've had a couple of tough games against him, but yeah, Morelos, the way he can use his body, it's more of a fight, whereas Edward, you don't see him, you don't come in contact with him, then when he decides to turn it on, it's just, he can do it for 10-15 minutes at a time, and it's unbelievable how he can do that.
Okay, you got a best friend in football? Maybe someone you've come through with, or someone you've spent a lot of time playing alongside?
There's somebody that Jim probably knows well. Me and Dom Thomas are really close at Kilmarnock now. We travel in together in the morning.
I've heard you. He's been in touch with a few talking points.
I don't know what he's been saying, but yeah, we've got the Casco to go in together and that, so we're all close.
He's not shy, is he? So you'll be. do you get a word in edgeways?
I've known Dom a long time. I know how to use him, but yeah, he's alright.
I'm half expecting him to phone in. I just feel like I can see the phone lines going and there are no names attached to these numbers. I think it's a possibility. Right, best stadium you've played at?
I didn't play, but the other night the stadium in Russia was incredible. But to make my debut at St James's Park, I don't think you'll get much better atmospheres than that. That was just something incredible.
Yeah, it's not a bad choice, is it?
Happy St James is brilliant. I like St James, yeah.
Well done. Did you play left back that night?
No, I played centre half, but that was a decent game, but I must have not done that. I didn't play again after that. But no,
enjoyed it anyway.
An experience I will not forget.
Right, best footballing moment?
No, mate, I'm not going to beat that. To make your debut at Hampden, scoring your debut for Scotland, it's something I've always wanted to do. So when that ball went in, it might have been the fifth against San Marino, but it's something that you'll never be able to take away from me, you know.
Us mere mortals will never get close to that. Talk about what's it like then, the moment the ball hits the back of the net. Can you kind of remember it? Did you manage to take it all in?
The game itself was a weird one. Like, the first half, we got through the first half pretty well, 3-0 up, and it was a comfortable match. But then second half started, the first thing I thought to myself was, if this gets called off and get my cap took off me, that's all I could think about. But then we got the corner, got the header, and it's, at the time, you don't really realise it's just a game of football and you've scored a goal. But it's when you come off, you look at your phone, you've got up to messages, your Twitter's going mental. It's just, you realise how big a moment it is, and then you realise what you get into football for, and it's for moments like that. It's just something that I didn't know would ever happen, but when it did, it's something I was so grateful for.
Maybe just a personal thing, but I loved it, Jim, because Stuart, and he acknowledges it himself, people will say, well, it was San Marino, it was only San Marino and whatever, but the look in his face when he scored, that was a guy who was just living out his dream, and you cannot underestimate how important that is.
No, it's brilliant, and that's what we want. That's what I feel that the fans want. They want someone who is like they are, who loves playing for their country, who when he scores a goal, doesn't matter who scores a goal against San Marino, it means something. He's passionate about it, he loves it, as I said, you know, and that transmits into the rest of the players. And the more we had that, John McGinn was the same, a hat trick for John McGinn, incredible. But he's one of these guys you think he loves playing football. Yeah, a guy like Stuart Finlay, I love playing for my country, it means something. I think for too long we've had players who pick and choose when they want to play, whereas guys like Stuart appreciate playing for the country is something special.
Next question, I'm going to bring you straight back, crashing down to earth. Your worst footballing moment?
That's an easy one as well. I remember my first loan spell at Morton. The first 13 games went alright. The last game we went away to Hamilton Accies, and I scored an own goal to make it 9-2 before it finished 10, which wasn't ideal, but it's one that it always somehow gets brought back up, like it has tonight. But
I wasn't going to mention it.
Nah, that's what you're getting at, for. But
do you know, I genuinely wasn't. But there we go. I could predict your best one. I saw that one coming. But there we go. 10-2. I forgot about that game. Any pre-match superstitions?
I have the same pre-match meal: a couple of poached eggs, bit of beans. But apart from that, I'm not too bad. I used to be when I was younger, but you realise, like, the more you do that, the more you get sort of sucked into it, and you sort of become a slave to it. So the fact that I can get away from that, just try and get out there and play the game, just do
poached
whatever
eggs and beans. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. It's usually pasta and chicken. Every player that comes in here always says pasta and chicken, pasta and chicken. So there we go. You've mixed that up a bit. I don't mind that. Any other weird ones that do the rounds at Kilmarnock?
I'm trying to think. I think the most of the boys are alright, to be fair. Okay. Like, nah.
Tell us something about you we might not already know.
I'm fond of a game of snooker now and again. I'd say that's my pastime after I play chain and stuff. I'm not amazing, but I try my best now and again.
So me and Matt.
These two and Gordon DL are sort of up there with the pundits. So when you say you're not amazing, what sort of level are we talking here?
I can hit like the 40s with my breaks and stuff. It's nothing to write home about, but
that's more than decent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you happy with that?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
We'll get him along to the next snooker day. Okay, that's fine. Well, I was going to say your hobbies away from football. So there we go, snooker. That's, we've sort of covered that one. You got a favourite film?
Ooh, back in the day, I used to love Gladiator. That was my favourite film growing up. We had this debate at Kelly, and I gave a couple of shouts boys weren't happy with, but that's when they sort of let pass. So I'll go with Gladiator.
What were they not happy with?
How to lose a guy in 10 days.
A few weren't happy, like The Greatest Showman, stuff like that.
Oh, that's a great movie. Who's it? Mark Wilson loves The Greatest Showman.
He's into all that sort of stuff. Yeah, absolutely. You got what's on the Netflix? What's the box set tip? What should we be watching?
The Money Heist. It's
the Spanish one.
Yes, it's the very one. It's unbelievable.
Right, I'm going to note that one down. Happy with that. And your ultimate five-a-side team from players you've played with?
Put me in a spot here. Goalkeeper. I'll go for Big Backman we had at Kilmarnock last year. The best goalkeeper I've played with in my short career so far. I'll put Greg Stewart in because I gave him the...
You did, you gave him the nod, yep.
It'd be rude not to put Dom in after Birmingham.
Right, okay.
I'll put Dom in as well.
What about when you were a kid at Celtic? Were there any guys that...
The best player, it's probably shown now, coming through, Cal McGregor, was always somebody I thought was a bit extra special from the rest of the boys. So I'll fling him in as well, if you want to fling him in.
Listen, it's up to you, I don't mind.
And I'll finish it off with...
Big Boydie's playing brilliant for us now at Sixes, just to let... He's already texted, just to let you know.
To be fair, if I wouldn't hear the end if I don't, so I'll put Boydie up front.
Oh, look at that, peer pressure. You should be ashamed of yourself, Chris Boyd. There we go, that brings that to an end. If you've got any questions, any points for Stuart, send them in at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Or even better, why not pick up the phone, 0141 951 1025. What about Kilmarnock at the moment? How would you assess the opening, was it 8 games, I think?
Obviously the season started a bit tough for us. Like, the Europa League wasn't something we imagined happening, and then we had a tough start with Rangers and Hamilton. But I think as a squad we've turned it around really well. We've had a really good run of clean sheets. We're unlucky not to get to Hampden in the Cups. I think we have turned that tough start into like a positive start, and hopefully we can keep that going. Especially live at the weekend, we know it's going to be hard for us, but it's a game that we know the way we've been playing, we can go in and get a good result.
I mean, you concede against Celtic and Edouard, you mentioned all that, but that aside, it's an incredible run of clean sheets. How much pride do you take in that, being a central defender?
Definitely, as a defender, it's the first thing you want to do, but the full team, I think, need to take credit. Like, the boys in front of Gary Dick or Alan Power, they don't get the credit they probably deserve in there. They're unbelievable for us to marshal it. And then even you go up front, you've got Brophy, who works so hard for us and does a job that a lot of people don't see, because he might, he's not scored this week, but he does a job for us that is irreplaceable. It's brilliant.
I've noticed covering your games as well, Stuart, that Greg Taylor was also going to be big boots to fill, but Hamalainen just seems to have slotted in there really nicely too at left back, hasn't he?
Yeah, Nichols came in on loan and he got flung into the deep end because Greg was injured for his first game, and they came in against Aberdeen, which at home we've always struggled with. We got enough in each and did a really good game, so I think he's slotted in really well. And Greg was obviously a massive player for us. I'd imagine he's going to be a massive player for Celtic once he gets his chance. But to have Nico to come straight in, and then we've obviously got Stephen Hinge in as well, and we've got young Callum Waters out on loan. We've got really good replacements, and hopefully we'll be able to move on from Greg getting a move to Celtic.
Still plenty of time to get your calls in. They can be Stuart Finlay related, they can be something else related. It really is up to you. 01419511025. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and we'll give the guys a full time teaser next as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Greedy still here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We have a special guest tonight. It's Scotland and Kilmarnock defender Stuart Finlay, who's been telling us all what it's like to score for your national team on your debut. He's been giving us a bit about Kilmarnock as well. Anything you want to put to Stuart on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Jan is in Denison. We're going to speak to Jan in just a second. Very quickly, let's just line up tonight's full-time teaser. I think this is a simple one. I think men of your capabilities will scoosh this. Campbell and Summerson sent it in. Thank you to Campbell. Prior to Lawrence Shankland, can you name 10 players, the last 10 players to be capped for Scotland whilst at Dundee United? So prior to Lawrence Shankland, can you name the last 10 players to be capped for Scotland whilst on the books at Dundee United? I think you will, Scoosh. It'll take, what, I guess, each to kick us off.
Andy Robertson.
Yeah, well done. That's the easy one out of the way. Mark. Okay, maybe Craig, it's not Conway. That easy. Oh, Craig Conway, lovely. That's a great guess. Stuart, anything to add?
I might get caught out here with my lack of knowledge, but with Johnny Russell, maybe at Dundee United, like the cap.
Not when he got a cap. Oh, that's not a bad shout, though. Come on,
Andy Webster.
Okay. Yeah, okay, we'll leave it there because that's 3 of 10. Andy Robertson, Andy Webster, Craig Conway, the last 10 players prior to Lauren Shankland to be capped for Scotland whilst at Dundee United. Plenty of time, we're going to line that up between now and 8 o'clock. Let's speak to Jan and Dennison. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Bobby.
Not too bad at all, Jan. What's your point tonight?
Super, guys. I'm not in Dennison, I'm actually in South West London at the minute, but it's been about 20 years since I've been on your show, so it's an absolute pleasure to be back on.
Oh, great to have you back.
So, I want to go back on the Eduardo Morelos script. I don't know whether it was Jim or Mark that made the point, and I wholly endorse that. I think that having both of those strikers performing the way they do in the Scottish Premier League is just fantastic. You know, I'm sure some of the defenders in the country won't appreciate that, but I think they're both fantastic strikers. My question was, if you look at the scoring attributes of Morelos, who I do think has turned a corner this year, or at least this part of the season in terms of his discipline and so on, and also probably his link-up play. And then you look at Eduard as well, who's slightly younger than Morelos and starting to really shine and show up for the under-21s as well for France. I think it's great to see. But my question to you is for those two players, do you think that the valuations that are sometimes put on them, as often described as the Dembele dollars and so on, do you think it makes a difference that Morelos is judged to be less valuable than Eduard simply because he's not in a team that's a championship-winning team?
Interesting question. Jim and Mark, you want to take us away on that one?
I think it always helps when you're playing in European football and showing what you can do, because with the greatest of respect, I don't think clubs down south or clubs abroad are going to play or pay 15, 20 million quid for somebody that scores goals against Partick Thistle and Dundee and Ross County. So what happens is, as has been the case with the Celtic players in the past decade or so, it's when they've gone and done it at European level, particularly in the Champions League on the big stage, that catapults them into that kind of fee. But Morelos has been doing it in the Europa League for Rangers. And I think he's heading towards that kind of fee. But if Rangers had to become, for example, if Rangers won the league this season and Morelos has banged in 30 goals to help them win the league, you'd also as well, for any club down south, if they don't pick up the phone to Steven Gerrard, they'll just pick up the phone to Jermaine Defoe and say, what likes it? And they'll say, well, if you can get him for 15 million, take him all day long. So yeah, he's heading towards that kind of fee, Alfredo Morelos, for sure.
Jim, does the silverware a player wins impact their value?
I think it can help. Of course, if you score a goal that wins a cup or wins a league, you know, the goal that eventually seals the deal, then it does get you more publicity. But I've said this a few times on the programme, I think there's a bit of football snobbery in England. I think they look at Scottish football and then they wait till it slaps them in the face, like Van Dijk, for instance. You know, they wait until, wait a minute, we'll pay 70 million. And somewhere along the line, somebody's got to be looking at beyond that. As we mentioned earlier on, the new guys at the helm at the Old Firm, Ross Wilson and Nick Cammon. Well, the English clubs have got to be doing that. They've got to be saying, wait a minute, if we can get a proven goal scorer for 15 million or 20 million, in English football, that's a snip. So yeah, they should be doing their homework just now, rather than wait until he goes to perhaps a club in the bottom half, if you want to call it that, and then scores goals, then pay three times that amount of money. So I think that these guys are good enough. I think they're potentially a lot more to come, because they're still young, you know, and there's a lot more to come. And we've got Stuart Finlay here tonight, who's the perfect guy to tell us about their attributes and whether he's also been down south as well to say whether, you know, do you believe that they're good enough to go and play at that level?
I mean, as I said earlier on, like, the two guys are probably by far the two best opponents as a centre-back you'll play against in the league. And I think Dembele as well is a perfect example. Teams in England, he was at Fulham, maybe, or he didn't do it at Fulham, he's done it at Celtic, doesn't really mean anything, but he's went to Lyon, he's getting linked with moves to Man United and things. I think teams will down south need to realise that if you're doing it at this level, it's not just because it's at this level, the players that are doing it are good enough. And I think the Van Dijk one they got caught out with, but I think as soon as they take a chance in these sort of players, I think they'll realise that is a better way to do it.
Jan, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree with Stuart. I don't disagree with Jim. But Jim, I pick up an important point from Jim there, that football these days isn't necessarily about the finesse or the skill of a player. It's all based on the stats. Mm-hmm. And Jim picked up on a point there where he said, well, you know, teams down south or maybe in Europe, whatever it is 15 to 20 million. And you look at it and you say, well, okay, if you look at the stats over the piece over the last 2 years, and this isn't a Rangers versus Celtic thing, this is simply saying Morelos is continually scoring. He's now in the Europa League, he's scoring. You've got Edouard who's continually scoring, not as much as Morelos is in the league, but equally he's contributing in Europe as well. And if you look at it, the stats piece, that's why the silverware element starts to sort of irk me a little bit, and it's about saying, how important is it to be a champion? How important is it to be finesse or technically gifted? Or how important is it for a striker to be able to stick the ball in the back of the net? Mm-hmm. And it seems it's a really strange and very objective discussion point.
Well, I mean, surely the best scouting operations, Jim, have the perfect blend of using stats but using their eyes. But, you know, if it was all about stats, and I'm going to try and word this not to be disrespectful, but Sam Cosgrove scored very similar amount of goals to Alfredo Morelos in the league last season. I can't imagine when the day comes they'll go for a similar fee.
Yeah, and also it depends on the teams that are looking and the style of player that they're looking for. I mean, ultimately, one player plays for one club. If they play slightly, as Stuart said, we spoke about Edouard the other on being quieter, and then he just drifts off. You almost as a defender lose concentration because he's not involved in the game. He just drifts into space, picks it up, really quick feet, bang, it's a goal. Whereas Morelos, he's up against you, you know where he is, but how can you handle him? So you've got different styles of player, different types of finishers. You know, Morelos is more bullish, and you know, as I said, when he hits things, he really puts his laces through it. You know, Edouard's a bit, you know, kind of softer, calmer, you know, putting them in. There's different styles. But the bottom line is, you know, it's about what a club is looking for. And I do agree with Jan to a certain extent. I don't necessarily think if somebody wins a Scottish Cup in Scotland that you know, he's got silverware, that's going to make a huge difference. I think it's just all about the attributes of that particular club. I think a lot of English clubs will be kicking themselves they didn't go for like a John McGinn. But at the same time, I think someone like John McGinn has alerted a lot of the clubs down there. Listen, there's a few bargains to be had up there and good players who can really enhance our team.
I loved it. I think it was his first game in the English Premier League. It was at Tottenham, wasn't it? And they were pitch side after the game. It was Redknapp, Van der Vaart, and they were saying, I mean, this guy came from Hibernian for 2 million. You know, they couldn't believe it. It was a hoor late, you know. So there we go. Jan and Dennis.
Redknapp, American, is he?
That was Van der Vaart. That's my Dutch. Jan and Dennis, thank you very much for the call. Good point, that actually. Got us going. What's the approach then? Sure, you know, you spoke about Edouard being a bit kind of quieter. You don't know when he's in and out of games. How do you try and cope with that?
I think when you play a game against Celtic and Rangers, you always come off afterwards and you're knackered after the game. And a lot of the times it's not anything to do with the amount of running you do, because in games like that you might not run as much. It's more shifting left and right. Whereas like an Aberdeen, you're in channels, you're up for headers. But it's the concentration side of things, because with they two guys especially, you can't switch off for a minute. As Jim said, you think you've got Edouard, you think you're dealing with him fine, then he'll pop up, he's got 10 yards of space on you, drops his shoulder and he puts one in. And I think it's trying to be constantly on your game. When you're playing against the top players, that's what sets them apart. Mm. Because if you switch off for 1 minute, they punish you, and that's what they look for.
And on Morelos then, how are defenders instructed to deal with him? Because we see it time and time again where you know that if you go tight, he's probably going to roll you, but defenders still try and go tight. You must know what he's going to do, but is it stopping it ultimately rather than not knowing what's coming?
Morelos, he's got this really good knack of letting you think you can step in and win it, and then he just obviously uses his body weight and turns you at the last minute. It's always about, again, switching on, because you need to know when it's on to do it. If you try and go too early, I got done at Ibrox with it last year, they scored an equaliser against us, and again, he's probably quiet in that game, but he switched it on for that couple of seconds. I'd done something I shouldn't have done, and he punched me for it. So it's always about trying to know you're playing against and try to use your strengths instead of try to play to his, which is how you're going to get outdone in the end.
Still taking calls until 8 o'clock. Remember, 0141 951 1025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. I'll take one more guess each on the teaser.
I've got Stuart Armstrong.
No, would you believe? No.
Gary Mackay Stephen?
Yes. Didn't get capped. Stuart Armstrong, whilst at Dundee United.
Stephen Presley.
No. Any more from you, Stuart?
You're going a bit before my time now. I think we've got all
what's the last
ones.
One, Gordon? What's the last one back? Or the furthest away, rather?
Probably early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
I'd have been probably 6 or 7 at that
point. Back.
Matt Walton?
No. He was at Celtic when he got his one cap.
Right. Okay.
All right, plenty of time.
Paul Dixon.
Barry Robson.
By the way, Barry Robson. Good shot. Well done. Look at this, man.
Relax now.
Right, we've got a few more to get, but we've got plenty of time to get them. Keep your calls coming. 01419511025. Talk to us a bit about your footballing journey, Stuart. Where are you from? How did it all start? Take us right back.
I'm from Carmyle, a little place next to Cambuslang, and I started off at Wolves Boys Club, and done well there. It helps when your dad's the coach, but he helped me out then. But then I went to trials with Aberdeen and Celtic roughly at the same time, about 9 and 10, and the Celtic thing obviously sways you. Like, going up to Aberdeen every second week, it's hard for a young boy. So started off at Celtic, worked my way through all the age groups, and then I got to a sort of sticking point. I made my debut in a couple of friendlies, but you get to that stage, you don't know where you're really going to go. And I was lucky enough that Kenny Shields took me to Morton on my first loan spell, which, apart from the obvious game I spoke about earlier, it went really, really well. I came back, and again, you start to think maybe that's me ready for Celtic, but it's hard at a big club like that. You always get these little knockbacks, and I found myself out on loan again, went to Dumbarton, which some people thought was maybe a step back, or it was a part-time club, but I've got nothing but respect for when I was at Dumbarton. It was probably 6 of the best months of my footballing career. It was Ian Murray, it was there at the time, and he basically gave me a bit of a free licence to try, and it sounds silly to express yourself as a centre-back, but to stride forward with the ball and look for the passes and don't worry if you lose. And I think that really helped me in that part of my development. And then I was able to go to the SPL with Kilmarnock a year after, which was, I'd done okay. Like, I could have done a lot better. I wasn't happy with how I'd done, but it was a tough time. The club weren't the way that they are now. We weren't doing as well. And I think a lot of people were surprised that after the Kilmarnock move, I managed to get my move to Newcastle, which was an experience that you can never knock back. I know I was getting on a little bit. I was 21. I was going to play in the reserves at Newcastle, but at the time, you need to jump at the chance, because I thought to myself, I've got one more chance of coming through at a big club before I might need to look at a different route. And I made my debut in the FA Cup, which again was another incredible moment for me. But again, you get so far at a club like that before you sort of hit that ceiling. And then I was lucky enough to go back and loan at Kilmarnock, and then obviously Steve Clarke got the job, and my career sort of took off.
Takes
from
on
there,
from there.
But
yeah,
it's amazing how quickly wee things like this in football can change. Because when I first went back to Kilmarnock again, didn't start great, and I sort of think, well, this is just a cycle that's going on here. But then obviously the gaffer came in when he did, and the 2 years since then have just been incredible.
What was that education like then at Celtic? Who were the guys at Celtic maybe in your team? You mentioned Callum McGregor. Who else would you have come through with? Any coaches in particular as well that maybe played a bit of a part?
I remember when I first came into Celtic, any youth player that's came in at under 10s at 11s knows Martin Miller really well at Celtic, who is the reason every single young boy signs for Celtic, because he's just an absolute gen and a great, great coach for young boys. And then coming through, I've had a lot of great coaches there. Obviously, you go up, you've got Tommy McIntyre, Stevie Frew, when you get to like that sort of reserve level as well. But Chris McCart was another guy that put a lot of faith in me and probably gave me as long as I did at Celtic. But yeah, coming through, I came through sort of the Callum McGregor, Jackson Irvine sort of age group, and there's some boys in that team who might not have went on to such good careers as obviously they two have had. Jackson's obviously flying down at Hull, but even guys like Marcus and Fraser and Joe Chalmers, who are now up at Ross County, coming through with these guys, it was incredible. Just a really, really good squad of players we had.
You're part of that big machine then for a number of years, lots of guys trying to make the breakthrough. When it becomes clear that that's not going to happen, and you have to leave that environment, I mean, yours is maybe a bit different because you ended up going to Newcastle, which was a massive club, but maybe in a more general sense, what's that like?
It's very easy when you're at a club like that to just think, oh, I've gave it a go, it didn't work, I can do what I want. But I was always a good one. I always believed that I was good enough to do it, and I think I still don't think I've got to as good as I want to get to. I know I can always do better and play better, but when you get these sort of not knockbacks, because I'm still at the club, but I mean, if another centre back gets picked to go and train with the first team ahead of you, it can be tough, because it's like you just want it to happen for yourself. But the going out on loan, getting the experience of playing with older men, I think it gave me a good belief in myself that I knew I could do it at senior level. And I always had that belief that even when I went down to Newcastle, I knew it wasn't going to work out. I knew I knew what I was capable of, and I think it's starting to bear fruit a little bit now.
Good stuff. Couple of questions coming in for Stuart on Twitter. I'll keep them in the back burner. And we've got, if you want to get them on the phones though, you've still got time. 01419511025. We're going to take a breather, so it's the perfect time to get your call in. Any more on the teaser? You've got Andy Robertson, Gary Mackay, Stephen, Andy Webster, Craig Conway, Barry Robson.
I've got one I'm quite happy with, because I was there when he played. It was a nightmare, right enough, but Gary Kenneth.
Oh, good shit.
That's a great shout. What was that against Sweden?
It was Sweden and Stockholm. Yep.
Same position, but I don't know if it was within that period. Lee Wilkie?
No. All right, that's a good start. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4 to get. We'll try and get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And we've not scared off Stuart Finlay, who's still with us. Solid debut from Stuart Finlay. You two, are you happy? You've seen many guests come and go.
He's handling himself well,
isn't he?
Nice big lad. Not a bad player as well, and a nice big lad.
Still time for it to go wrong, by the way. Plenty of time for you to get your calls in, 01419511025. Some tweets coming in as well. I suspect this is a sort of private joke, if you like. Thomas McHugh is on. He says, Stuart, what's your favourite non-professional football team? He knows, it says in brackets. I don't know, there must be something in this.
Every Tuesday night, my fiance's nephew's got a under 15 boys club team, so I've went and done a bit of training with him. And I'm not going to lie, when I first went, a few bad results, but I've turned it around a little bit.
Is that right, your influence?
I don't see a lot of games because I play on a Saturday morning, but whenever I can get along, I like to go to the training, so...
What are they called?
Yeah. Well, I can't remember. Thomas is going to have to... Rosebank.
No, they're a good side, based up in Kirk and Tillock way, but they're better now that I'm sort of getting them into shape.
He's humble as well. That's what I like, modest. Right? I love that. And Douglas Harper's on... He says, can you ask Stuart if you would love to see Ayrshire's number one club being promoted next season, so that there would be four Ayrshire derbies? And this is where it gets a bit bizarre. Does he think Nuts the Squirrel could beat our Panda in a square go?
The first bit, they're not really in a number one club, but I need to say that for the Kilmarnock side of things. But no, obviously they played each other a couple of seasons ago in the Betfred Cup, and I think what didn't go Kilmarnock's way that night, so it would be nice to be able to play them at some point and sort of set the record straight there. But with regards to Nuts, I think Nuts would have that one very easily.
Because Nuts handle himself.
From what I've seen, he looks all right.
You're advocating violence on the show.
Mascots are fine. They're padded and fine. What a problem. And last one for the moment. Roscoe says, what are your thoughts on Angelo Alessio? What has to happen for him to be called successful after, you know, Stevie Clark? How does he fill those boots, essentially?
It's a weird one because I think he had one of the hardest jobs in football, but at the same time, a lot of people say it was an easy one because you're coming into a successful team. But to be able to try and come in and replicate anywhere near what Steve Clark done would be very, very difficult. To get Kilmarnock to third in the SPL was something up until 2 weeks before the end of the season nobody even thought was possible until I went and done it. So it's going to be difficult to ever replicate how good it was under him, but I think he's shown in the last 7-8 games to start steadying the ship after the start we had, to get the clean sheets we have. I think he's on the right track, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the season goes under him.
Had he not been following Steve Clark, everybody'd be raving about him. Had he followed the previous three or four Kilmarnock managers, everybody would be raving about him. But Kilmarnock overachieved under Steve Clark. Didn't win a cup, but finishing third for Kilmarnock is overachieving. But fair play to them for doing it. So, but for Alessio to go in and be fifth or sixth is good going. I think he was unfairly hammered early in the season. Imagine, you need a bit of time for the players to learn about him, but more importantly for him to adjust his methods and learn about the players that he's working with. And there's also been a bit of a to-ing and fro-ing, and it's now coming together.
Well, definitely. I mean, when he first came in, we've been used to, like, we got to a stage under Steve Clark, we didn't need to work in tactics and training. It was that set in our ways that it was hard for us to try and change it. And I think the way we're playing now isn't dissimilar to how we played under the old manager. And I think that's a mix between the manager knowing what was a winning formula, and I think the boys knowing what they were good at. I think the manager's realised, added his own couple of wee bits to it, and I think it's starting to breed the results that we probably expected to get after the season we had. And I think people were worried at the start, and understandably, the Kona Ski Games, something that shouldn't be happening, like, it wasn't good enough from our point. But I think all we can do now is try and move on and put that right, and I think we're going about it the right way.
I think Kilmarnock, you know, and particularly the manager, has assessed his strength, his team, and his strength's defence. That's an absolute certainty. Stuart mentioned Eamon Brophy earlier on, who works tirelessly and puts defenders under pressure and gives you an out ball. He's great for defenders under pressure. He knows if he sticks in the channel, he's going to go after. But he's not prolific. And Chris Boyd's obviously retired, so not having a regular goal scorer means that you have to be really good defensively. That to me is an art and a talent, you know, that we sometimes don't acknowledge enough. We always look at the top end of the pitch. But for Kilmarnock's structure, organisation and defence, I think the manager deserved a lot of credit for continuing with that philosophy, because that was the, that gave them the opportunity to be a successful team.
Back to the old manager, who's the current Scotland manager, and you've obviously rekindled that relationship there over the last couple of weeks, Stuart. How is he in that environment? Is he the same? Is he different? Because it's obviously a very different role. What have you noticed?
I think that's the beauty of him, that he's the exact same. I think from his point of view, it would be madness not to be. I mean, if you've got such a good, successful formula at Kilmarnock, to go to Scotland with maybe a higher calibre of player, but and then change the way you're working, I don't understand the logic would be there. So I think I'm happy to see that he's done everything the exact same, even down to things like the training. It's very, very similar to what we've done at Kilmarnock. Of course, it's harder. He's only got us a week at a time when you go away international. So to get it drummed into us at Kilmarnock, it was every day, month upon month. Obviously, it's harder at international level. It's a lot more classroom stuff, so to speak, like doing it on the tactics board, doing it in videos and things. But I think he knows that if he does what he done, it does work, because it worked when we were at Kilmarnock. So I think obviously we got off to a tough start with Scotland the last few games, maybe haven't went the way people expected straight away, but I've got full belief that if he keeps working the way that we worked, we did at Kilmarnock, it can only go one way.
We touched on it earlier, you make your debut, you score the goal. I'm sure it hasn't escaped your attention, there are other defenders that will be coming back to full fitness as well. You've got the jersey, so to speak, at the moment. How much do you want to stay there? What do you have to do to stay there? We've not actually got long until the next break when you think about it.
I mean, people like to go on about there's not a great strength and depth in certain positions, but you look at the centre-backs that Scotland have got, you've got Grant Hanley, Premiership football player, you've got Charlie McGrew, several caps, the daily experience, you've got Big Scotty injured, John Souter injured, Craig Halkett injured. There's numerous very good centre-backs, but I've got full belief in myself that I know how good these guys are, but I believe I'm just as good as these guys, and I got my chance. Fair enough, you might not be able to prove yourself as a defender in a game like San Marino, but to go out, I had to go out and do a professional performance, which I think that I've done. And all I can do now is go back to command. I've got maybe 3 or 4 games before the next international. If I can go out and play as well as I can for the next 3 or 4 games, all I can do is put myself in the thoughts, and then it's up to the manager to decide who he thinks the best 4 to go with her.
And does getting that taste of it make you want it even more?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when I was growing up, it's my dream to make my debut for Scotland, but my dream wasn't to play one game for Scotland. It's to play and to keep in the team and do what I can to help this country, because everybody wants to qualify, and if I can be part of a squad that can do that, it'd be unbelievable. So if I can just keep up my club form, hopefully it's enough. As I said, if I can put in the plans, then it's up to the manager to select me.
Brilliant. Well, we certainly wish you all the best. Yeah. Let's round off with tonight's teaser. You've got 4 names, I think, to get.
David Goodwillie.
Yes, we're looking for the last 10 players prior to Lauren Shankland to be capped for Scotland whilst at Dundee United. They've got most of them.
Scott Roberts in the midfielder.
Fantastic. What a joy this is. What a great team I'm witnessing here. A great team performance. 2 to go.
No.
Oh, maybe not.
The big goal.
Right, what about if we were going way back?
Early 2000s. Charlie Miller.
Yes. Oh, it was just I just dusting off my Charlie Miller clue as well, but that's fine. You didn't need it.
He's one and only, I think it was.
Right, one more.
Must be somebody that Craig Levein had at Dundee United, no? Whether he's Scotland manager.
Probably. You're putting me in the spot now, but yeah, probably.
You know, one of the ones you nearly say something really daft, and then you think, no, thank goodness.
Is it the hardest one?
Nah, not really. No. I mean,
because you're thinking
he's played for a good few clubs, so that's maybe why, you know, I don't
Scottish
know.
Scottish clubs?
Yeah. Went down south as well. He's still at one of our Premiership clubs. Ooh. So you would be an experienced striker now, is what we'd call him.
I'm trying to think, because Kenny Miller didn't play there. No.
Same surname. No.
Lee Miller.
Lee Miller. Well done. Lee, we got there in the end.
Wow, I'd have struggled for Big Lee to get that one, I think.
Thank you to Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy. They won't mind me reserving the biggest thanks for Stuart Finlay. Stuart, hope that was painless. Did you enjoy that?
Fine. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. You can revisit us sometime. That was Stuart Finlay. Much appreciated him joining us tonight. Thank you for all your calls and tweets. We're back tomorrow, 6 o'clock, with Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson. And in the meantime, Stephen Miller's up next. There we are.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.